The following talk was given by Norm Randolph at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on April 21, 2019. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Something that Katagiri Roshi used to mention very frequently in his talks, talk about how we cannot leave the reality of here and now. This is our life. This is our what we are. This reality that's being directly experienced here and now. It's a boundless reality. It's not a reality that we can leave. This is our practice, is to live this boundless, all-inclusive here and now reality. And he used to tell a number of stories about this, to emphasize that we cannot leave this reality of here and now. And one of the groups of stories that he would use, that he would frequently refer to, was the stories he would tell about living at the temple with his teacher. Right after he was ordained, he was 18 years old, and he lived at the temple with his teacher. And it was a very difficult experience for my teacher to have to go through this. His teacher was a very old man, and he needed lots of help. And Katagiri Roshi, 18 years old at the time, he wasn't called Katagiri Roshi at this time. He was just an 18-year-old monk, but he was. It was a very difficult time for him, being there with his teacher who needed lots of help. Katagiri Roshi had to do many tasks around the temple, cooking, cleaning, mending clothes, cleaning up around the grounds, looking after what the things that his teacher needed. He had to constantly be on the lookout for all these things that were needed, that he needed to do, and many duties that he had. And one of the duties that he had was to lead services for the villagers who lived down at the foot of the mountain where the temple was. And Katagiri Roshi would go down and lead the services for the villagers. And frequently when he would finish up with leading the services for the villagers, he'd have to walk back in the dark. And there were no street lights. It was completely dark when he would have to walk back. And he would hear sounds in the bushes and feel fear. And he would sometimes, to calm himself down, he would chant the Heart Sutra. This is one of the chants that we do here. And this would calm him down temporarily, but then he'd hear another noise in the bushes. And even though he'd been chanting the Heart Sutra, he would feel fear. And he had a feeling that someone was watching him. Seemed like someone was watching him, but he turned around, there wouldn't be anybody there. But still, this fearful feeling continued for him. And that was one of the additional difficult things that he had to deal with when he was living at the temple with his teacher. And my teacher was surprised to discover shortly after he got to the temple that sometimes people in the congregation who had died would be cremated in the backyard of the temple. And Katagiri Roshi didn't know this when he first went to the temple, and he would come back, and he asked his teacher, "What's that smell? Is somebody cooking fish around here?" His teacher said, "No, they're cremating a person who died recently. Someone in the village died, and they're having a cremation out in the temple yard." And this was very unpleasant to think that the dead bodies were being burned at the temple there. And he thought is this fish that's being are they cooking fish? But it wasn't fish, it was dead bodies. And that kind of upset him to think that this was going on at this temple. And one time he was in bed. His teacher was in his room, and Katagiri Roshi was in his room. And they heard a bell ringing in the meditation hall. And there was no one in the meditation hall. And Katagiri Roshi next day asked his teacher, "Do you think that there are ghosts in this world? Do you believe there are ghosts in this world?" You know, this was another idea that was frightening to him. His teacher said to him, "Don't worry. Don't worry." His teacher didn't say there are ghosts or there aren't ghosts. He just said, "Don't worry. Don't worry." So, but still, this was very troublesome to Katagiri Roshi, that he lived at this spooky temple where corpses were cremated in the backyard and where ghosts would spontaneously ring bells in the meditation hall. This was very creepy to him. And this was right after World War II that he was going through this, and there were lots of food shortages in Japan at that time. And there wasn't very much food to eat. Some people would offer a little bit of food, but not very much. And Katagiri Roshi complained about this to his teacher and said, "We don't have enough to eat here." And his teacher said, "Well, you know, let's be patient. Maybe somebody will bring some food to us." But that was very rare that they did. Very seldom would people come and bring food because there was just barely enough for the villagers. And so it was very rare that someone brought food to them. And then one day after Katagiri Roshi complained to his teacher, his teacher said, "Well, dig around in the yard. You might find some potatoes that I buried out there long ago." And so he'd dig around in the yard, and sometimes he'd find these old, worn out, moldy potatoes. And Katagiri Roshi thought to himself, "This is ridiculous. Is this a way for humans to live? Just subsisting on so little food and feeling lucky when you find some moldy potatoes out in the yard." So it was very unpleasant conditions for my teacher at this time. My teacher had been given the name Dainin, which means great patience. But my teacher hated that name. He hated that name, great patience. He liked the name that he was given before he became ordained. That he liked the name that his parents had given to him, and the name was Yoshioki, which meant good luck. So Katagiri Roshi started calling himself Yoshioki, good luck. But one day his teacher said to him, "Dainin, now that you've been ordained, your name is Dainin." He said, "No more good luck. You should go by the name Dainin." And so he, no more good luck. He really felt, "I have no more good luck now that I'm here in this difficult situation." Finally, my teacher went on strike. He refused to get up in the morning. He didn't do any work around the temple. He just lay in bed. He did this for several days, but he felt very terrible doing it. He felt doesn't feel right. But he just continued to lie in bed, and after several days of this, his teacher came to his room and said, "Danyin, when it's time to get up, you should get up. When it's time to do zazen, you should do zazen. When it's time to have breakfast, and you should have breakfast." When his teacher said this to Gadagiri Roshi, he said that he suddenly realized he could not continue his strike. He had to just continue with going on with carrying out life at the temple. But he hated it. He had come there because he thought he would be learning something. He thought that he would be given some teaching by his teacher. But his teacher didn't teach him anything. And Gadagiri Roshi complained to him about this. He said, "You never teach me anything." And Gadagiri Roshi said, "You never ask me." So Gadagiri Roshi was very unhappy with this situation. He thought his teacher was going to be offering lots of teaching and helping him. But his teacher was just helping him to live day-to-day life, to really fully live here and now reality without expecting something outside of here and now reality. But this was not something that my teacher liked when he was first at the temple with his teacher, when my teacher was 18 years old. So finally, my teacher decided that he wanted to escape living at the temple. And he told his teacher, he said, "I want to leave here. I don't want to stay here anymore. I'm not learning anything. I have all these unpleasant things I have to deal with. I'm living in this spooky, strange environment and where it just seems like I'm wasting my time here and living a very unpleasant life." And his teacher said, "You can go anytime you want." And then his teacher said to him, "But just remember one thing. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you experience, it's always the same. It's always the same. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what you experience, it's always the same. It's always the reality of here and now manifested as this experience of here and now. We can't leave reality of here and now. Everything is a manifestation of this life, of this reality of here and now. There's no place we can go that is not a manifestation of this reality of here and now. We cannot leave this reality of here and now." And although Gadagiri Roshi's teacher said this to him, he couldn't appreciate it. He didn't understand what his teacher meant. So one day, Gadagiri Roshi decided he wanted to leave. And so late at night, he left the temple and he ran far, far away. And he finally arrived at a forest, and there were lots of tall trees and vines and roots on the ground. And as he ran through the forest, he tripped over one of the vines that was on the floor of the forest. And as he tripped, he fell down and rolled over on his back, and he looked up at the moon. And as he looked up at the moon, he suddenly realized, you cannot leave the reality of here and now. Everything is a manifestation of this reality of here and now. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter what you experience, it's always the reality of here and now manifested as this experience here and now. Suddenly he understood what his teacher meant. At that time, he was able to go back to the temple and practice together with his teacher and carry out his duties at the temple without getting caught up in his preferences about whether he liked these activities or not. He could just take care of these activities without being tossed away by whether he liked them or not, without being tossed away by his egocentric emotional preferences. Eventually, he did leave the temple, but this was after he'd been there a while, and he was able to accept whatever came as a manifestation of the reality of here and now, and to fully live this reality of here and now. So this reality of here and now is not something that we can escape from. We don't like it frequently. Frequently it manifests as something we like, and we want to hang on to it, or it manifests something we don't like, and we want to push it away. But there, no matter what, we don't have an option but to fully live out this reality of here and now. Be aware, be awake here and now, without being caught up in our preferences. There's no escape from this reality of here and now. And there's another story he used to tell about this. He would tell it quite frequently, and this was a story about a naughty little monkey who he liked to trick people, and he would steal the belongings of others and hide from others and run away from others with the stolen property. And this little monkey met up with some magicians. And from the magicians, this little monkey learned how to fly through the air. And this was a very wonderful ability, the little monkey thought, because this would enable him to perpetrate his tricks more on others. He could fly away with the stolen goods that he'd taken from others and hide from them. So this little monkey felt very proud of himself that he could fly, and he was very boastful about it. And one day he boasted to some people. He said, "I can fly all the way to the end of the universe." And so the little monkey took a running leap, and he flew and flew and flew for a long, long ways. And finally, the little monkey arrived at five huge poles. He saw five huge poles, and the little monkey said, "I must have arrived at the end of the universe." So he left his mark at the bottom of the each of the five huge poles, and then he felt these five huge poles collapsing around him. And the little monkey said, "Help, help, I'm being trapped under five huge poles." And he looked up and he saw Buddha's face. And Buddha said to the little monkey, "Little monkey, you thought you'd flown to the end of the universe, but you're still in my hand." The five huge poles that the little monkey saw and the little monkey was being trapped in were the fingers of Buddha's hand. The little monkey was still in the reality of here and now. We're always in Buddha's world. We're always in this reality of here and now. We can't escape. And no matter how far we go, no matter what we experience, we can't escape from this reality of here and now. And our teacher would tell this story over and over again, emphasizing, you want to go someplace in particular, escaping here now experience? It's impossible. All you can do is live out this here now experience. Everything that shows up is a manifestation of this here now experience. Your memories of the past are a manifestation of this here now experience. Your thoughts of the future are a manifestation of this here now experience. All your thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires, memories of the past, thoughts of the future are all manifestations of this here now experience. It's impossible to escape this here now experience. And this Katagiri Roshi would tell this story to show that no matter how far you think you can go or how far you can get away from your present experience, you're still living out the reality of here and now. You can't escape. We're always living this reality, which is here and now reality. We're always living out this reality in which we're living in Buddha's hand, living this reality, which is here and now reality. And then another story Katagiri Roshi used to tell was about a monk who didn't like being at the monastery. He very much disliked Zen practice. He frequently would try to escape in the night go into town and drink sake and beer and wine and whiskey with the villagers. And one night came home and as he was sneaking back into the monastery, he climbing over the fence and he stepped on his teacher's head. His teacher was there waiting for him. And so finally he went to see his teacher in personal interview, and he said to his teacher, "I want to leave here. I don't want to be here anymore. I hate monastic life. I hate being here doing zazen and carrying out the activities of monastic life. I want to spend my time full time drinking sake, drinking whiskey and beer with the villagers in the village." And his teacher said to him, "All right, then get out." And conversation was taking place in the teacher's room. There were two doors to the teacher's room. And so when the teacher said, "Get out," the monk started to go out one of the doors. And his teacher said, "That's not your door. You can't go out that door." And the monk looked around and saw that there was another door. And he said, "You started to go out that door." The teacher said to the monk, "That's not your door. You can't go out that door." And the monk said, "Well, there are only two doors in the room. You told me to get out, but I try to go out the only two doors that are here, and you say, I can't go out. You know, you tell me to get out, but then I try to go out and I can't go out." And the teacher said, "If you can't go out, then stay here. You can't get out of this here now reality. Our practice is to fully live this here now reality, to be fully aware here and now, and take care of this here now reality as our life. We're inseparable from this reality. There's no way we can leave it. There's no way we can get out of this here now reality. We need to look carefully at our life and realize that this is true and fully live this here now reality and take care of everything as a manifestation of this here now reality. Take care of ourselves and others, our emotions, desires. Take care of our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Take care of all of it as a manifestation of here and now reality, which we can never leave. We're always experiencing this reality. Our practice is to fully live this here and now reality. This reality is being directly experienced here and now. So, but usually we don't carry out this practice. We live our life based on our ideas about what here and now reality is. We live our life based on our expectations about what our life will bring to us and what we'll get. We practice caught up in expectations, caught up in one-sided ideas and beliefs. We think, rather than just fully living out this reality that is of here and now, we live our life based on ideas of egocentric improvement, trying to improve my life, improve my health, improve my health, happiness, try to gain states of relaxation for me, and to gain states of peace, freedom, enlightenment, and wisdom for me. We live our life caught up in ideas of egocentric expectation and overlook this reality which is manifesting always here and now. Sometimes we think that our practice is to try and get rid of states that we dislike, trying to get rid of anger, greed, fear. We think it's about our practice is to try and get rid of particular states, but our practice isn't about getting something that we're lacking or trying to get rid of something that we have but that we don't want. Our practice is to fully live out this here now reality and take care of this reality as our own life. It's our own life in the sense that we're inseparable from it. All the things we encounter are manifestations of this reality. All these things that show up are manifestations of this true life, true self, true life, which is our true nature, our true life, and which we cannot escape. So anyway, when I first heard about Zen practice, I didn't understand it in this way. I saw that Zen practice was a technique to benefit the separate ego self that I imagined I was, thinking that Zazen was a technique of where I could get these states of that I was lacking, such as peace, freedom, enlightenment, and wisdom, and to get rid of states of anger, fear, and greed, thinking it was about, this practice was about egocentric improvement. But this is how it seemed that practice was when I first started out. But fortunately, my teachers at that time, Suzuki Roshi and Kanagiri Roshi at the San Francisco Zen Center, both emphasized that this practice is not about egocentric improvement. It's not about gain or improving yourself. This practice is to really live as you are, to try to take care of your life without being caught up in your egocentric confusion about what your life is. But even though I heard this, it didn't make sense to me. I kept thinking, yeah, this practice is about making egocentric improvements. I'll practice in this way and I'll make improvements. And I remember my first sesshin, I was feeling that I was making lots of improvements. My mind became very calm. I was feeling like I wasn't, caught up in my thoughts. I had the idea that if I could go a full 40 minutes without any thoughts, we sat Zazen for 40 minutes. If I could go a full 40-minute period of Zazen without any thoughts, then I'd get enlightenment. I had this idea. My teachers had never suggested that, but I came up with that idea. So I would practice with the idea, yeah, I'm really going to try to get rid of all the thoughts. But so I'd sit, and sometimes my mind would become very calm, and I'd think, I haven't had any thoughts for a while. Zazen is getting very good. I think my maybe enlightenment is just around the corner. You know, I haven't had any thoughts. Soon enlightenment will be mine. But then I think to myself, wait a minute, I'm thinking again. Now, you know, if I, you know, darn it all. Now I'm going to have to wait till next period of Zazen to get enlightenment. Darn it all. But, you know, it just became clear that it isn't about trying to get rid of thoughts. It's just seeing thoughts as they come up, not holding to them, not trying to get rid of them, not clinging to them. Just let the thoughts come and go without attaching to them or trying to get rid of them. Eventually that became clear. The first session I had, it seemed like I was making lots of improvements. I was a session that was being led by Katagiri Roshi. And I thought I should let Katagiri Roshi know about the improvements I was making. It seemed like my mind was getting very calm. And lots of improvements were going on, it seemed to me. Lots of insights were going on. I was feeling, wow, I'm really making improvements here. I should let Katagiri Roshi know about this, to let him know what wonderful improvements I'm making. And so I went to see Katagiri Roshi in personal interview, and I told him about these wonderful improvements that I was making. And I thought he would say, well, gosh, you're experiencing this already during your first session. This is wonderful. You know, making all these improvements in your first session, I think you have the potential to become a very wonderful Zen practitioner. I thought he would say that, but he didn't. He said, when I told him about the improvements I was making, he said, don't worry about it. You know, he said, instead he said, well, how's your posture? How's your breathing? How's your state of mind? In other words, how is your experience now? What is your, you know, don't spend your time fantasizing about all these wonderful improvements that you're going to make or wondering how long it will be before you get the improvements that you're fantasizing about or how long it will take before people are impressed with your improvements. Instead of spending your time in that way, just look at your direct here now experience. Don't try to speculate about how much improvement you're making or get caught up in these ideas about making progress in your practice. Just resume the practice of being aware, being awake here and now, without being caught up in ideas of making progress. But it's a very strong tendency for us to want to make progress in our practice. And very frequently we ask, how long do I have to practice? When we're first starting out, we wonder, well, how long do I have to practice? And what will I get when I carry out this practice? And Katagiri Roshi would try to help people know it's not necessary to worry about that. Don't worry about how long it's going to take to carry out this practice or what you're going to get from it. Just carry out this practice. Just be aware here and now. Be awake here and now without getting caught up in expectations about what you're going to get from it. Without being caught up in ideas of there's something wonderful that will come to you from carrying out this practice. Or that you will get something, or something will come to you. You know, one time Katagiri Roshi was asked by a student, the student asked Katagiri Roshi, if I sit Zazen, will enlightenment come to me? And Katagiri Roshi said, no, even if you sit Zazen, enlightenment will never come to you. Enlightenment isn't something apart from us, it's separate from us, that we need to wait around for it to come to us. This awakeness or enlightenment or what we truly are is not something that is separate from us, that comes to us. So a practice is just to be aware, to be awake here and now, without being caught up in our ideas about who we are and who others are. And as much as possible, just be aware here and now, without expectations of what we're going to get from it. But this is very hard for us to do. We think, well, by golly, if I'm going to do this, I want to be able to expect some good result. I want to be able to expect something wonderful will come to me. Otherwise, why the heck should I do this? Well, that's a big problem. We see things in this way. We're looking for some reward. But as long as we're doing that, thinking, I'm lacking something, I need to carry out the practice in order to get something that I'm lacking, like enlightenment or wisdom or peace or freedom, as long as I'm practicing with that expectation of getting something I'm lacking, we're overlooking the actual experience. So as much as possible, just be aware here and now, fully live here and now, be this awareness or awakeness that is our true life now. Our practice is to be aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. But usually we think, well, I'll be aware so that I get something in particular in the future. Just be aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. That doesn't make sense at first because of our strong tendency to interpret reality dualistically. So again and again, we have to come back to this practice of just being aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now. And in this practice of being aware here and now, for the sake of being aware here and now, we can allow expectations and egocentric ideas and beliefs to drop away without, just let go of how we're caught by these expectations and beliefs and egocentric ideas, and just allow them to drop away and just be aware here and now for the sake of being aware here and now as much as possible. It doesn't make sense at first because we have such a strong tendency to interpret our life in a dualistic way. There's a powerful tendency to do that. We need to resume again and again this practice of awareness, this practice of living as this awakeness or awareness that is our true life. And really let ourselves see that reality doesn't correspond to the egocentric ideas and beliefs that we have about it. Reality doesn't correspond, our practice doesn't correspond to some technique to get something that we're lacking. Practice is to fully live this here now reality, the only reality there is. There's nothing to expect outside of here now reality. It's an all-inclusive reality, nothing outside of it. So as much as possible, just be aware here and now in all circumstances as much as possible. Allow expectations and egocentric ideas and beliefs to drop away naturally and resume the practice of just being aware for the sake of being aware here and now. There's nothing to get. Everything is already right here. We can't leave this reality. Practices to fully live this reality that we can't leave. But this does not mean to grasp the idea, I can't leave this reality. This isn't to grasp the idea, everything is right here. This is to fully live this reality without being caught up in our ideas. We're always holding to our ideas about it, thinking my life is inseparable from all being. That's true, but that don't hold to that idea. We're always grasping at ideas. That's the idea is a wonderful pointer, which can be an encouragement to live this directly experienced reality. We're inseparable from all beings. But if we're clinging to the idea where I'm inseparable from all beings, then this reality in which we're inseparable from all beings is being ignored. But this is such a strong tendency, the grasp at our ideas of what this reality is. So, when we hear, wow, talk more than I thought I have. Maybe I should stop here, maybe. In this practice of awareness here and now, it can be realized that here and now reality, directly experienced here now reality, is not as it seems, nor is it otherwise. This reality seems to be a divided up reality. There's me and all these other seemingly separate things and individuals and phenomena. Seems to be separate things which persist through time and move through space. Seems to consist of separate things which interact with other separate things and cause other separate things to appear and to disappear and cause other separate things to show up. We really believe in the dualistic structure of reality. This is how reality seems to be. Reality manifests with this appearance, but in carefully investigating direct here now experience, it becomes clear that there can't actually find these separate things that persist through time, that move through space, that interact with other separate things and cause other separate things to happen. We're living in a reality where ultimately we can't find separate things. But yet this reality in which you can't find separate things manifests as, looks like a reality in which there are all these separate things. We don't cling to the idea there are separate things. We don't cling to the idea there aren't separate things. If we cling to the idea it's all one, we're clinging to the idea of oneness. If we cling to the idea there are no, you know, if we cling to the idea there are separate things, we're clinging to the ideas of separation. Just see when you're trying to grasp this in terms of ideas and just allow that to drop away and fully live this reality which is right here, which can't be grasped conceptually. This reality is not something that can be explained. Everything is a manifestation of this here now reality. There's nothing outside of this reality. But this is not something that can be explained. These explanations are just pointers to this reality, to encourage us in the practice of letting go of our strong attachment to our one-sided beliefs. It's not something that can be explained. This doesn't mean to throw out our explanations. They're wonderful pointers which can help us carry out this practice, but don't attach to them. Don't cling to anything. Don't attach to any explanations or beliefs or ideas. Don't attach to ideas about who you are or what your life is. Just fully live out this reality which is being lived here now. This reality is being lived together with all beings. And in this practice, it can be realized that we're living inseparably from all beings. But this isn't to give us the idea to cling to, I'm inseparable from all beings. Don't cling to any idea. Just live this reality without holding to ideas about it. If we're clinging to ideas about it, whether it's the idea I'm one with all beings or clinging to the idea I'm separate from all beings, we're still caught up in our ideas and beliefs about it. Just live this reality without being caught up in our beings. Even the idea that I'm one, living one life with all beings. Let us let ourselves directly experience this life in which we're living one inseparable life with all beings, but without being caught by the idea, I'm living one inseparable life. Just live that life and fully participate in this reality where all beings are functioning together inseparably, mutually helping each other. Without clinging to the idea, all beings are functioning together inseparably from me and from each other. You know, just don't hold on to ideas, but this is where we stumble. This is where we fail and where we get confused in our practice. So our practice is to really live this life of this reality of here and now, to live the awareness, the awakeness that is our life right now. Usually when we hear the term, be aware, be awake, here and now, we think that this means that I, separate ego self, me, should do something called being aware, be awake. But in this practice, it can be directly realized that awareness, awakeness is what we are. Our practice is to live this awareness and awakeness that is what we are, without clinging to the idea, awareness and awakeness is what I am. Just be awake without clinging to our ideas about what our practice is, what our life is, but who I am and who others are, and really live this life. And don't throw out our ideas. Very useful in pointing to this reality, which seems to be a divided up reality, and in which there are, seem to be all these separate things that need to be pointed out. Don't throw out the conventional conceptual models of reality. Don't cling to it either. Don't cling to some idea of oneness. Just live this reality without being caught up in our one-sided ideas and beliefs. Take care of our ideas and see them as helpful pointers. You know, don't ignore the appearances, but don't get caught up in the appearances. Just live this life without being caught up. And the practice is to see when we are caught up, one-sidedly believing that this reality corresponds to our limited, one-sided, dualistic views, and resuming the practice of carrying out this practice without being one-sidedly caught by it. I know I sound like a broken record. I say this all the time. Anyway, I hope this made a little bit of sense. Though, if you say it didn't, it won't hurt my feelings if you disagree. It won't hurt my feelings too much anyway, at least. You know, it may hurt my feelings a little bit, but I'll recover eventually. You know. At least I'll try to recover. I don't know. It may take me a while. Maybe I'll cry myself to sleep for a couple of nights, but eventually I'll bounce back, you know. So do you have any questions about any of this or any comments you'd like to make? Thinking about it is fine. You know, we need to remember our past and plan for the future. We need to do that. But if we believe there is a past separate from here or a future separate from here, we're overlooking the actual experience. We just can live out this reality where there seems to be a past separate from now and a future separate from now. But without being one-sided caught to this, our memories of the past or our thoughts of the future are stayed separate from here and now. We see them all as manifestations of the reality of here and now without holding some belief about it. But once again, we usually get caught up in our beliefs and believe that reality corresponds to how we conceptualize it, how we interpret it. thinking there is a past separate from here, there is a future separate from here. And there is a me separate from others, there is a here separate from there. We usually get completely locked into these interpretations and overlook the actual direct experience in which ultimately we can't find these separations. But yet we don't throw out the appearance of these separations. We don't throw out these ideas. They're very helpful in enabling us to function in this reality, which seems to be this way. So we don't ignore the conventional appearances, but don't cling to the ideas of how it is conventionally, and don't cling to some idea how it is beyond the conventional appearances. Just fully live this reality without holding to our one-sided beliefs about how it is. But that's, we really want to grasp some idea about it, and then we overlook it in that way. But just all we need to do is just see when that's going on and resume the practice of being aware here and now. Without trying to get rid of our conceptual interpretation, without clinging to them either. So anyway, that's a very contradictory explanation. All explanations are, ultimately. I didn't explain it, but all I can do is just point in that way. Did you want to ask more? Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for your question. Well, thank you all for coming today, and I appreciate you coming here on Easter. You could have been at worshiping at your favorite place of worship on Easter. So, but instead you came here. I appreciate it. So, happy Easter, and appreciate you all coming here today. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.